大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus
Welcome to the Cross Culture Seminar. My name is Masaaki Osugi.
And I'm Susan Iwamoto.
Well, Susan, this time it's about yourself again, but you as a bilingual person.
Okay.
All right. And of course, a lot of people know by now that you spent some time in Japan as a child.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So let's go back to those days when you came to Japan for the first time. How long did you stay?
Let's see, it was about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Tokyo when I was 5 years old and then left to go back to the States when I was 9.
Okay. All right. So during those years, you must have learned some Japanese or at least picked up some Japanese phrases.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Part of it was what I learned in school.
So you went to American school, right?
That's right. That's right. And at the American school, we had Japanese classes a few days a week. But then, of course, living in the neighborhood near the school, I had a chance to pick up some Japanese from the kids in the neighborhood as well.
Right. Is any Japanese word you still remember that you learned at the time?
Let's see. Gosh, there are a lot of things. But one of the things I remember my mother talking about years later was that she found it really interesting that my sisters and I would pick up little Japanese phrases and kind of put them into our English conversation as well.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, you know, we might be walking down the street, and instead of saying, Mom, look, look, we would say, Mom, mite, mite. And, or other things like, are, like to express kind of surprise, like, are, that kind of thing, just suddenly like crept into our English language. So, to my parents, it was really fun and interesting for them as well.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. It was your first experience of learning any foreign language, but did it appeal to you as an interesting thing?
Oh, definitely. And a few years back, my sisters and I found some old cassette tapes that we had made. We used to do taped letters for my grandparents or aunts and uncles when we were living in Tokyo. And we found one at my grandparents' house and we're listening to it. So, you know, it's the voice of, you know, six-year-old Susan, for example. In that taped letter, we were talking about all of the Japanese we were learning in school. So very proudly, I was counting up until 10 in Japanese for, you know, to tell my grandparents how much I was learning. And it was clear, even listening to it, that that I looked at Japanese as something that was really fun and new and exciting. And at the time, you know, of course, I mean, I was so young that you could say that English was still new to me, you know, only 5 or 6 years of life at that time. But being able to use it at the, you know, the local shops, you know, by the time I learned how to say ikura desu ka or arigato, that kind of thing, had a chance to use it like at the local dagashiya or something like
right.
that. One of my favorite places to go.
Okay. All right. And you went back to the States and went to school there. And when did you start formally learning Japanese?
Well, let's see. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance for the most part in the States. So my sisters and I forgot nearly everything we'd learned, which was really sad. And to use a Japanese expression, motainai, I think. So I had a chance between my third and fourth year of high school to take a summer class for about, I guess it was about 6 weeks. And that was my first chance to take it in a classroom setting again. And that really whet my appetite again for more Japanese and solidified my desire to study it more seriously at university. So basically from starting college, I think, was the first time to have that chance again to study it in a classroom setting in a serious way.
I see. So in that college Japanese classroom, how many students took that course?
Hard to remember. Let's see. I think our class size wasn't that big. So I think it was under 20 students. And in taking, it was intensive Japanese. With other classes such as French or German, you didn't really, I guess, need to have an intensive class. But to, I guess, to learn anything in Japanese, it had to be intensive. So we met 6 times a week.
Oh, wow.
And it was a mix of some lecture type of classes from a professor, some discussion oriented, so more so we could have a chance for speaking practice. So I'd say maybe 2 or 3 of the days were lecture oriented with a focus on a lot of grammar or teaching kanji. A couple of the classes that during the week were focused on speaking and, you know, having a chance to put our Japanese into action. And then an additional day for something. I don't remember now. Some other important Japanese thing, I think. But it was a lot of Japanese, that was for sure. But a really good chance to learn.
Right, right. I'm very curious. Was it a Japanese teacher?
Yes. All of the teachers, all of the professors were, I think nearly all of them were native Japanese speakers. There was one professor who taught some of the Japanese language classes and many of the literature and culture classes, who was a native English speaker, but his Japanese was perfect. It was amazing. So, but for the most part, native. Certainly for our discussion sections where we had a chance to, you know, do a lot of spoken Japanese, mostly those were taught by Japanese graduate students who were there.
I see.
Probably learning, you know, how to teach Japanese as a foreign language.
Yeah. Was the instruction done in English or in Japanese or mixed?
Mixed. In the earlier stages, like in the introductory level, of course, there was more English.
Right.
But the more advanced that we got, then, of course, the amount of Japanese in class would increase. Mm-hmm. And certly by third and fourth year, the professors would try to use as much Japanese as possible. But we were still allowed to, you know, ask questions in English, or sometimes they would use English to explain difficult grammar concepts, that sort of thing, too.
Right. So in the process of learning Japanese, what did you feel was the hardest part of it?
In my never-ending process to learn Japanese, the parts I still feel, I would say grammar is the most challenging.
Uh-huh.
You know, it would be easy to say that kanji is, but with kanji, I think, you know, if you study and you memorize and you repeat it, it doesn't have to be. I mean, of course, it's always difficult, but it doesn't have to be. It's a matter of just really sitting down and putting the effort into it. Grammar is a never-ending challenge for me, unfortunately. Someday, I hope to master that. But it's interesting with Japanese. When you learn it in the very beginning, kind of simple type of grammar in the beginning isn't that hard to master, I think. You know, just like simple sentence constructions, and you can have a simple conversation. And I don't think it takes that long to get to that level. And that feels good, you know, when you can actually start to communicate. But the more advanced you get, the harder and harder it becomes, I find, too. I don't think I'm alone in having those feelings about it, too.
I see. Okay. Well, outside the classroom, did you do anything special yourself, like listen to Japanese radio programs? Or, of course, in the States, there weren't Japanese language TV programs, but, you know, like subscribing to Japanese newspapers and read them or anything of that sort?
Well, you know, I have to say, I wish I had done more. Now, this was, of course, a long time ago. This was before the internet became really widespread. It did exist at the time that I went to college, but the web really didn't in its current form. So nowadays, I think it's much easier for students studying Japanese to have access to just a wide range of Japanese materials, and including things like, manga, kind of fun ways to learn as well.
Yes.
I think, of course, I still think I could have done more. You know, we certainly had a number of Japanese exchange students, and there was like a Japanese American kind of club, Japanese American Society, that looking back, I kind of wish I had become more involved in at the time. The other thing that was interesting, and I may have mentioned it on our podcast before, is that at my university, we had special language dorms. There was one particular dormitory that had like a suite of rooms. So I think maybe about 6 students could live there.
Right.
And they were designated as foreign language suites.
Okay.
So you could live, and you were supposed to, if it was the Japanese suite, you were supposed to speak Japanese all the time you were living there.
Okay.
There were French and Spanish and German suites as well. And I considered moving into one of those 1 year, but then decided, I don't want to speak Japanese all day long. Strangely enough, I moved to Japan after that.
Okay, but that's a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the students who lived in those suites really liked it a lot, actually.
Yeah. さてですね、子供の頃に日本に来て、それが日本語学習のスタートとなったということですが、日本のアメリカンスクールに通いながら、そこで日本語のレッスンを受けたというのが最初だということですよね。その後高校でも少し、いわゆる日本でいうとこの集中講義みたいな感じで勉強したそうですけれども、やはり何て言っても一番きちんと勉強したのは大学に入ってからということで、まあアメリカ人の学生で、マサチューセッツ大学で日本語を勉強しようという学生はどのくらいいたのかなと思って、クラスはどのくらいいたんですかと聞いたら、まあ、20人そこそこという感じだというんでですね、まあ一般に日本語というのはそんなにですね人気がある外国語ではありませんからね、まあ一般にアメリカ人にとってはスペイン語が人気の高い外国語で、あとはまあヨーロッパの言語の方がやはりですね人気があると思うんですよね、ということでしたが、まあ一番難しいっていうのは、まあ漢字はやっぱり我々日本人にとってもですね、読めない漢字もたくさんあるし、書けない漢字なんてもっとたくさんあるので、 Never ending process とスーザンさんおっしゃってますけど、漢字は我々にとってもまあ Never ending process ですよね。常に学習してないと書けない読めないということだと思いますよね。ただ文法 Grammar っていうのがやっぱり一番難しいようだと、特に教室外で特別な勉強したことないっていう、そういう話でしたけど、まあ漫画とかね、今ですとやっぱりインターネットがあるということが非常に大きいと思いますね。もう一つは、この我々がやってるクロスカルチャルセミナーの日本語版みたいなやつがですね、あったら、日本語学習者には非常に役に立つんじゃないかと。まあそんな気もする今日この頃でございますが。Alright, let's go on to the phrases.
Okay, the first phrase is,If at first you don't succeed, try again. Now, this expression has been around quite a long time, and people will still use it when they're trying to kind of cheer someone up, perhaps someone who's made a mistake or failed in some way, you know, to try to encourage them to try again. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. Even if you fail, you should make an effort to do something again. So, for example, you could say, The cake I baked didn't come out well.Oh, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Maybe my next cake will taste better.
さあ、失敗を恐れずにどんどんトライしようというふうに励ます、勇気づけるフレーズですよね。If at first, つまり最初、もしも you don't succeed, うまくいかなかったら try again. Try 2回言うんですね。Try again. ね。いうことで、まあ今のはですね、焼いたケーキがどうもうまくできなかったということなんですけどね。もう一度例文を聞きましょう。
The cake I baked didn't come out well. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Maybe my next cake will taste better.
とこういうことですね。パターンとしては、If at first you don't succeed, try again. というふうにまあ相手に言って励ましてあげるということであります。さあ、それでは second phrase is...
Second phrase is somewhat similar. It's about, if you make a mistake to try again. And this is, if you fall off your horse, get right back on. Now, I used your horse in this situation, but there are many variations of this expression. The most common one for me when I was growing up was, if you fall off your bike or your bicycle, get right back on. You also sometimes hear, if you fall off the wagon, get right back on.But whichever variation you use, the meaning is the same. If you make a mistake at something or fail in some way, try to do it again right away, immediately, if you can. Because the longer you wait, the more nervous you'll feel about trying it again, the more you'll hesitate about it. So, for example, you could say, I know your presentation didn't go well today, but you know what they say, if you fall off your horse, get right back on. Look for a chance to make another presentation soon.
さあ、これもですね、やはり失敗したらですね、くじけないでもう一回トライしろという意味なんですが、ポイントになっているのはですね、間を置かずにすぐに再チャレンジしろと。If you fall off 何々。これはバリエーションがあって、まあ自転車だったりですね、馬だったり、馬車だったりするんですけれども、your horse とか your bike とかね、まあその後の get right back on。というのがですね、すぐにまた乗れって言ってるんですよね。で、すぐに乗れっていうのは、間を置かずに、すぐに再チャレンジ。Right away。これが大事だって言うんですよね。 間を置いちゃうとますますですねおじけづいて再チャレンジがしにくくなるということですよね。では例文をもう一度聞きましょう。
I know your presentation didn't go well today, but you know what they say? If you fall off your horse, get right back on. Look for a chance to make another presentation soon.
ですね。今のバージョンではですね、off your horse となっていましたね。そんなわけで、まあ馬から落ちてもすぐにまた乗って再チャレンジだと、こういうわけですね。All right, see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー。
Sponsored by Olympus.
クロスカルチュラルセミナーをお聞きの皆さん、いつもありがとうございます。皆さんはどうやって語学学習をしていますか？ラジオ講座などで勉強している方もたくさんいらっしゃると思いますが、いつも聞いているラジオ番組が聞けないこともあるでしょう。そんな時の強い味方がオリンパスのラジオサーバー VJ10 です。ハードディスク付きラジオレコーダーで最大約2500時間も録音できるんです。1日24時間、それでいくと何日録音しっぱなしでいいのみたいなね。AM FM チューナーにステレオスピーカー付きですよ。20件の番組予約も OK。 録音した番組の早聞き遅聞きやリピート再生も可能で、語学学習にドンピシャリ。すごいなこれは。しかも早聞き遅聞き再生は2倍速から 0.5 倍速までの9段階に対応。パソコンとの接続も OK なので、ポッドキャスト番組はもちろん、音楽もダウンロードして聞くことができますよ。ラジオサーバー VJ10 はオリンパスのオンラインショップか三省堂書店でお買い求めいただけます。詳しくは voicetrek.jp にアクセス。さあ、これであなたの語学学習もきっと変わりますよ。Olympus.